This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Lim Soo Ann and Kelly Anisa. Before the break, we were talking about the first Malaysian author to win a Hugo Award, Zen Cho. And now in relation to our second story, we are asking you on Twitter.
Where do you go when you feel like crying? 74% of you have said somewhere I can be alone, followed by 14% of you who said I never cry. 13% of you said I just do it. And no one said I look for friends and family.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah. I mean, you can take that poll at BFM.
At BFM Radio.
At BFM
Radio.
Don't
cry, Kelly.
It's too early.
Save it for later in the show.
BFM Radio on Twitter. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
And, you know, the fact that we're talking about crying, we cry for so many reasons. I mean, whether we're sad, we're angry, or we're just happy, you're crying tears of joy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for some of us, crying is cathartic. It's emotional release.
It lets the boo-hoos out, as Freddie Prinze Jr. and Friends said. Okay, very old reference, I know. The room here is too young for this joke.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Me neither, Sharmila.
I'm going to cry. Go ahead, Suan.
Another example of when you cry. But for the others, some people just find it unnecessary, as perhaps we see on our poll. And there are still some people who still see crying as a weakness itself. But what is it that influences people on whether crying is helpful to them or not?
Yeah, so a new study found that our own personal beliefs about crying may be shaping our crying tendencies and our experiences. So recently published in the journal Cognition and Emotion, the study was conducted by psychologists from the University of Queensland in Australia with over 200 participants over an online test. Mm. So what they found was how often you cry, how you feel after crying, and whether it helps you through your emotions. These are all likely to be influenced by your beliefs and expectations about crying, the social context, and, you know, also your past experience.
So the participants were asked to rank from 1 to 7 to what extent they agreed with different statements that were presented to them. Mm. So these were grouped into 3 categories. The first statement was around the idea that crying in private is helpful. So, for example, statements like it helps when I'm feeling overwhelmed or it makes me feel better in the long run. And then it was about whether I am totally messing this up.
I think it's a thing in the studio.
Yeah. Crying in private is unhelpful. And then those had statements like it makes me feel worse when I'm alone, or I feel worse after crying. And then crying in public is unhelpful. So, for example, I feel ashamed when I cry around people who are not my friends and family, or I feel judged when I cry around my coworkers. So most of these results are actually around the midway mark. So when it comes to crying in private, most of the people surveyed believed that it's unlikely to be bad for you, but they're also not sure whether it's good. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to crying in public, most of the participants were also unsure whether it was helpful or unhelpful.
Yeah, I think, I don't know whether I'm surprised or not by the mixed results, because mm-hmm. it's really personal as well, isn't it? And, you know, I mean, the results were also mostly of white and Western participants, but it's just interesting to see that people are quite confused about how they feel about crying, whether in private
does
or
it
in
really
public.
Help? Yeah.
Yeah, but then it's quite common for us to hear of people talk about crying as cathartic, as we mentioned earlier, and then, you know, processing our feelings and emotions. So why is it that some people find it cathartic and others don't? Earlier today, I spoke to lecturer in psychology, Dr. Eugene D, about this, and here's what he has to say.
Well, I think there might be some individual differences in how we perceive crying. So much of what we know from the psychological research in this area suggests that crying is actually not cathartic, so it does not actually help reduce unpleasant emotions. But I think what we need to consider as well is the perception and the belief that crying does actually bring us benefits. So sometimes we hear people say, I feel much better after having a good cry. So these individuals may actually have a helpful belief that crying does help them manage their negative emotions or stresses. So I would think that such a belief may actually mean that they're more likely to express rather than to suppress their emotions and end up feeling better as a result. So I think more generally from an evolutionary point of view as well, crying likely evolved as a means to actually convey helplessness, defenselessness, So it's a call for social support and assistance. So some of us might think that when we do cry, it yields social benefits as well. We get people to sympathize with us. We get people to attend to us. And I think more importantly as well, validate the emotions and the distress that we're actually going through.
I mean, that's quite interesting, is that it's actually just the idea of how we look at crying rather than the actual act of crying itself.
Absolutely. So it's not maybe the physiological response, but the thought that this physiological response actually does bring us some benefit.
So just the idea of catharsis itself, it's your release of strong emotions, whether you're happy or you're sad or you're angry, and you just release all that pent-up emotion through crying in this case. And what do both of you think? Do you find that it's cathartic for you?
You know, I do find that if I'm overwhelmed with some kind of emotion, that crying does help me get it out in some way. While it may not necessarily be making me feel better, what it lets me do is it lets me process that I am feeling something strongly and that it's something I have to deal with. And then the process of crying helps me release it and talk about it and even admit to myself that I'm feeling something.
I mean, for me, it's weird because, and I'm not trying to offend anyone by saying this, but I've always viewed crying as, you know, a sign of weakness for me. Not for anyone else, but for me. I just don't like to cry because I feel like it shows I've given up. But it's odd because when I do cry, I feel so much better after that. And I was just overreacting or something. And then I'm myself again.
I think this ties back to Dr. Eugene's point about how you are more willing to express your emotions and not just like suppress them.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to crying, and like you said, Kelly, perceptions is, but it's also not about the perception of you yourself crying, but also about how is it when others do it. And I think especially in a professional setting, crying is not necessarily seen as compatible in that time and place. And, you know, for some people, it depending on the context, it may even be seen to reflect badly upon a particular person. So I also asked Dr. Eugene about how different social settings affect our perception of crying. Do you find that people perceive crying differently depending on the environment, the context, especially when it comes to a professional setting, like in an office versus perhaps when you're at home with friends or family?
Absolutely. So there really is a difference between crying in private and crying in the midst of a public setting, which makes the research and findings in this area even more complex. So is it beneficial? Is it not? Well, I think it also really depends on the environment that we are in. So I would gather that from whatever studies have been conducted, that there is a little bit more, slightly more, I think, perceived benefits from crying in private situations. So the effects of crying in public are a little bit more mixed and dependent on what we call situational appropriateness. There is this particular aspect of studies in emotion called emotion appropriateness. So in this regard, we need to consider whether the expression of crying follows and matches a particular emotion script. So I'll give you another more concrete example. You might want to think about a situation and ask, is the crying expressed here done with enough frequency and intensity given the situation? We'll take a leader, for instance, right? So crying or even tearing up in response to a tragic circumstance is not only appropriate, it's sometimes expected. So I'm actually thinking about, thinking about Barack Obama, so him tearing up after his speech following the Sandy Hook massacre, which was perceived to be as an expression, perceived by many as an expression of empathy and grieving alongside those affected by the tragedy. So I think because in tragic situations, in crisis situations, people look to the leader as the sort of go-to indication of how we should be expressing. And when a leader expresses alongside, cries alongside family of the victims, then you would actually take that as an indication of sympathy, if not empathy.
And speaking of sympathy and empathy, a lot of times, you know, when we talk about crying and we see well-known people or colleagues crying, the gender comes into the context as well. You know, why today still our perception of crying sometimes do differ depending on whether the person is a woman or a man?
I think this has a lot to do with what social psychologists know about gender norms and how that's actually been shaped by our culture and our upbringing as well. So more traditional conceptions of masculinity and femininity are directly influencing these views as well. I'm sure you might have heard of statements such as boys don't cry, women are emotional. I think these are just one part of the story. So what we do find as well is that crying appropriateness depends on this gender script as well. Several studies that show that men are punished more severely for crying, whereas it's more acceptable. I put acceptable in inverted commas here, for women to cry, even in professional settings. That being said, the story is a little bit more complex than that. There's at least one other study that's also shown that crying women in professional settings are perceived as being manipulative. So it may be a little bit more acceptable because of the gender script, but I think we really need to consider the environment, the context, the background story as well. Just looking at the crying act by itself only gives us a very, very small part of the story.
We also hear that crying means you're more emotional, that, you know, perhaps you can't think as logically or reasonably as someone who perhaps doesn't cry as often. I mean, what is the flaw to saying these things to someone?
I'm glad you pointed out that it's a flaw. So I would actually be very cautious about concluding that crying equals emotional or illogical, unreasonable behavior. So remember that much of our crying, more generally, our emotional expressivity is shaped by our perceptions and environmental factors. So I'm going to make a reference to a female colleague of mine, for instance, who tends to tear up a fair bit, and it's not because she's sad, it's just her way of responding, coping. So the same colleague sometimes tears up in response to feeling anger. I don't see her as being any less logical or unreasonable in any case. Some of us are just a little bit more susceptible to others' emotions. Some of us have a higher degree of what we call trait empathy. So really, all these factors just make us a little bit more susceptible to others' emotions, more likely to express rather than to suppress our tears. But long story short, no, I'd agree with you in saying that crying is an expression of emotion, but it's not necessarily one that reflects irrationality or the person being unreasonable.
So that was Dr. Eugene Tee, the senior lecturer in psychology.
And so turning back to the idea of crying in the office, you know, what would you do if you saw your colleague crying? And would the gender of the person matter? Our intern Jasmine helped to ask some of our colleagues this question, and, you know, here's what they have to say.
Yeah, I would definitely try and console them by just being beside them. I'm not a touchy kind of person, so I don't know whether that person is okay with me touching them as well. So I'll definitely bring them water and just try and console them. Not talk a lot, just keep quiet. To me, it doesn't make a difference if it's a man or a woman who cries.
Try and console them. If I was really close with them, obviously, and I'll try to help them up, drop everything and help them out. If not, probably I would still console them, but it would be slightly difficult for me to do so. It doesn't matter their gender if they're crying. I would still help them regardless.
When I see a colleague crying, I will probably go up to them and try to check up on them to see if they're alright or not. It doesn't really matter if they're a girl or a guy. You know, when they're crying, obviously they're showing signs of distress. So I think the best way to do it is to just respond, try to show a bit of empathy and be there for them if they need your company.
The first thing that I would do is probably go to my colleague and ask him or her if things are fine, and I'll try to talk it out with the said person, and I'd be more than willing to help them out and especially lend a listening ear, because for someone who's crying, you just want to be heard out sometimes, right?
So we were asking you a question on Twitter. The question was, we had a poll, where do you go to when you feel like crying? 74% of you said somewhere I can be alone, 13% of you said I never cry, 12% of you said I just do it, and 1% of you said I look for friends and family. And we do have some responses. So on WhatsApp, Anonymous wrote in and said, my dad says men don't cry, so I cry in my sleep.
Oh, that's really sad.
And Mia wrote in and said, I prefer to cry in private because when I cry to myself alone, I just needed to let it out. But when I talk to someone while crying, it depends on the person I'm talking with, because it's about who I trust when I feel this unguarded or this weaker part of me. I believe it also depends on who sees you crying, because I would feel worse when someone gets angry or annoyed to see me doing that, or if they were to tell me to toughen up or say it's not something to cry about. Right. And on Twitter, CW said, listening to BFM's song selection and you will find sadder things that would immediately stop your tears.
Huh. No comment there. Moving on.
And Daniel Pubalun wrote in and said, listening to my favorite music on my car CD player. And Jonathan Tan said, watch any dog-related movie, even reruns. So I guess that's what helps them.
See, dog-related like movies helps you bring out the tears, I think.
Yeah, I think it makes you cry even more.
I think it has the exact adverse effect.
Which might be the point. I actually know people who, if they're feeling particularly bad, right, they would rather watch something sad because it helps them sort of catharsis, like you said earlier, Suan. It helps them, you feel something so intense that you can actually bring that emotion out, which may not be the worst thing.
I find that I do that, like when I'm feeling a bit low, then I like to listen to sadder music than upbeat music, which is very weird because I feel like you should be looking for happier stuff.
But because it's artificial, right? If you are feeling low and then you sort of force yourself to be happy or to engage in happy things, the initial whatever it is that makes you feel down in the first place doesn't go away. So at least helping to process that emotion is perhaps more useful.
I know. When I was in school, and it just was not related to the song at all, but I know one song that used to make me feel sadder was Taylor Swift's Teardrops on My Guitar. I used to listen to that when I was sad, and then I just cry even more.
Oh, gosh.
It is sort of a sad song.
It is, but I don't know why that song. It's not like I could relate to what she was saying.
No, everyone has these sad songs, right, that they turn to. Do you have one, Suan?
I think I do, but I can't remember. Like, now that you've put me on the spot, I can't remember what it is.
So you haven't been sad in a while.
Yeah, I don't think there's a song that I particularly listen to when I'm feeling sad. I think there are songs that do make me cry for various reasons. But I don't know. What I was also interested in is this: the question that you asked our colleagues, this idea of what would you do if you saw someone crying in the office? Because context is also important, right? It's very different crying among your friends or your family members. And it's another if you were to cry in the office. And I actually thought to myself that I think I well up with tears quite easily when I'm talking about something that's very important to me or something that affects me or something that I'm angry about. And I realized that when I was younger, I used to feel embarrassed about it. But I think as I've gotten older and maybe more confident about who I am and what it is that I'm capable of and how people perceive me, that I'm a lot more okay with revealing that part of myself because I don't necessarily think it seems like a weakness.
I mean, I don't know why I feel that way, and it feels very uncomfortable saying it out loud that I don't think that way about other people, but personally, I feel like if I cry, I feel like I'm showing a side of me that I
don't think you're alone in feeling that way, though. Yeah, I think a lot of people feel like crying, especially in front of people that you don't get, that you're not close to, or you don't have a connection with, that you would be perceived as perhaps being weak.
I find that it's a bit awkward. I don't know, like in that moment, it also feels both sad and awkward at the same time, especially if you're not that familiar or close with the person, because then both of you are like, well, what do you do now that one of you is crying?
I've had that reaction before. I just didn't know what to do. And I know that if you were to hug them, they cry more. So like what, you know, one of the Vox pops when he said that he wouldn't touch them, he would comfort them. I understand where that's coming from.
Are there places where it's okay to cry, you think?
Oof. My room.
I was going to say movie theater.
Yes.
I cry in movies a lot.
Maybe that's what we should do. You know, when you feel like crying and you find it awkward, just watch a very sad movie in an open space.
My indication when I go on a date and it's someone that I don't want to go out with again is if we're watching a sad movie, I cry, and if he laughs. If he laughs or he makes a joke about it. I mean, like a gentle joke is fine, but if he's actively laughing, I'm just like, dude, no, I'm not going to see you again.
But that's weird, because isn't it? Because then you question, is there no empathy?
Yeah.
Because you're not empathizing with whatever sad scene that is happening. Because if the person just has a stoic face, then maybe I understand a bit more.
They could still feel it. Yes. I mean, like my brother, for instance, the dog movie thing. He doesn't get teary too easily at movies. But like if it's a movie about dogs, I know that even if he's not, I might be outing him on air. Even if he isn't crying, you know, visually, he's very sad inside. I know that. So you don't necessarily have to be drowning in tears to feel sad. But I think not understanding when other people do feel sad is, as you said, a sort of a lack of empathy.
Yeah.
So we do need to take a quick break, but we'll come back, with if you have more comments that you'd like to share with us. But first, here's When Doves Cry by Prince.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's the Daily Digest with Charmila Ganesan, Lim Soo Ann, and Kelly Anisa. So a quick wrap-up of the stories we discussed today.
In our first story, we spoke to Zan Cho. She is the author and one the first Malaysian to win a Hugo Award for her story. So on Twitter, Muhammad Khairul wrote in and said, "Proud of Zan. Where can I find one of her books? I'm not into ebooks. I prefer the hard copy style books." Well, you can read her story. You can find for that story online at the Barnes & Noble blog. And the rest of her books, they are sold in major bookstores.
Yeah, her novel Sorcerer to the Crown and The True Queen are available on major bookstores. Spirits Abroad, however, I think is out of print. Mm. You might be able to, excuse me, you might be able to find a couple of copies online if you look.
Yeah.
And in our second story, we spoke to Dr. Eugene T, senior lecturer in psychology, about our perceptions of crying and whether crying is really cathartic, and also just looking about how we feel about crying in the workplace.
Yes. Yeah.
And on that note, we were asking you on Twitter, where do you go to when you feel like crying? 72% of you said somewhere I can be alone, followed by 15% of you who said I never cry, 12% of you said I just do it, and only 1% of you said I look for friends and family. And we do have a few comments on Twitter. Bosco wrote in and said, "I cry in public because I like the attention." He or she is honest. And Hakure Hime wrote in and said, "It's understandable not wanting to cry to family and friends. They would worry, and then that makes me cry more." And on WhatsApp, Benji wrote in and said, "When a relative dies," and he had this emoji where there's no expression, whereas when a pet dies, the emoji is crying. I suppose sometimes you like your pets more than your family. David Toh wrote in and said, "Play Princess, Sometimes It Snows in April. It's a very tearful song."
Definitely a song that makes you cry, yes.
Chia Tin Yuen wrote in and said, "Look for Mr. Bean. It can do lots of wonders."
I think that's when you want to cry and perhaps want to stop crying.
Yes. And another person wrote in on WhatsApp and said, "Crying is good for emotional health, so I will not hold back my tears."
Well, that is all we have for you today. But if you want to continue that conversation, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. We are also on Facebook. You can look up BFM The Bigger Picture. So if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest. We are also on the podcasts are also on the BFM app and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Kelly here will be sticking around to look at the importance of producing high-quality research when it comes to refugee advocacy. We'll leave you now with As Tears Go by the Rolling Stones on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.